Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that normally brings together well-known friends to talk through three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. But of course, we are living through lockdown in these strange and worrying times. So this is another episode that's being brought to you by phone this week. But fear not, I have a guest for you that is bound to raise a smile. Born and raised in Essex, he started his professional life as a copywriter before quitting a very good job in 2016 to pursue life as a stand-up, going on 4 years later to win the Edinburgh Comedy Award. These days, he's out on the road, or was prior to lockdown, with a show that really does describe his comedy mind, Fast and Curious. Although now he's in lockdown in Manchester with his wife Lindsay and their young daughter Minna, he's still continuing to pump out the jokes. Every day on his IGTV and his YouTube channel, he's doing his regular caning sessions. And he also has some great podcasts that you can download, Evil Genius being one and Boys Don't Cry being the other. So let's dial up a man who I think is arguably one of the funniest in the country. It's Russell Caine. Russell Caine.
How you doing? How's the line?
Hello, my darling. How are you?
Just trying to fill my days with something, trying to find stuff to do. Easier said than done. I'm used to, you know, like doing stuff during the day, maybe filming something early evening on stage. I do 2 hour tour show, so to drop down into absolutely nothing is killing me. It really is. I'm a hamster with no wheel.
That's a brilliant way to describe it. Although your daily uploads on Instagram have been giving me something of a life, I have to be honest. Thank you.
Well, I'm very lucky in that a lot of the stand-ups have had to think, right, what's the equivalent thing I can do with a camera in my bedroom? How does it translate, given that comedy is so much about feeding off the people around you? Just by sheer coincidence, I've been practicing doing these things called caning for 4 years. I'm like the prepper that everyone laughed at. Suddenly needs all the beans in his basement. I've got puns on one shelf. I've got one-liners. I've got political satire pickled in a secret section and a compostable toilet full of Boris Johnson jokes.
Oh, God. And I have to say, I love the way you are reframing the pandemic. Because it sometimes feels like we can't even afford to laugh. And I think we have to, because it is arguably, I mean, to say but the best medicine is not quite right in these times. But
the best medicine is definitely a vaccine. It's definitely hand washing and an antibody test and a vaccine, and then laughter. So laughter is very much for. Well, I always say to people, like, do you ever worry there's things you can't make jokes about? There's a difference between like laughing at the fact people are ill and dying and finding humour in the most bleak of situations, and particularly with British people. I mean, anyone who's, well, that's most of us, unfortunately, who've ever lost a relative, a grandma, a spouse, whoever, you'll know that one of the last things to go is sense of humour. I mean, my nan, she had 24 hours to go and we were still laughing. That is literally one of the last things to go on a Brit. Eyesight will go. The ability to walk will go. You might have a great aunt incontinent in bed, every body function gone, but the humour stays there right till the end on most British people. So it stands to reason that when the dung hits the fan with a global pandemic, sense of humour should be thrown hard at it and see what comes out the other side.
So your caning it sessions really are something of a public service.
Well, I mean, I didn't think I was a key. I'm one of the least key workers. I was speaking to a couple of other comics. It's like, you really do realise how unkey you are when everything stops. I mean, if everything restarted tomorrow, every pub, every nightclub, every business reopened, but just stand-up stopped, it really wouldn't matter. I think that's dawning on a lot of comics. We really are. We've been banned from Timpsons forever. We're so unkey.
I'm guessing you're at home in Cheshire with Lindsay.
I am, yeah. Lindsay and Minna in the house.
How's lockdown with a four-year-old?
Oh, my God. So just... before you've got any syllabus guidance or our teachers might be able to offer, some of the schools are doing like Google Classrooms and stuff like that. There's loads of things. But obviously with someone who's four, if you're putting them in any sort of education, it's kindergarten age. So it all happens so far. I don't have a sandpit. I don't have a harp to play while 20 other four-year-olds sing along. You've got limited resources. I just went online and bought 10 emergency dollies under a tenner so I could sort of release one of those every 2 days. Well, they went in 3 days. I'm just buried in dollies and a board. And then, yeah, we busted out the paddling pool yesterday. That bought me 15. So I put the paddling pool up. Filled it, got a sunbed out. That bought me 15 minutes before
that's
I said, hey, I've got no one to play with. You need to do the voice of the other dolly daddy. And then I have to do the voice of the other, whichever voice I pick is always wrong. Not that voice, not the voice you did last week. What voice did I give Ken last week? I can't remember what voice I gave Ken last week. Was he American? Was he from Chorley? It could have been anything. And then there's a meltdown because I'm doing a slightly different voice.
If we are in for the long haul, will your family unit survive this, Russell?
Yeah, weirdly, I've noticed, I don't know if anyone else with younger children have noticed this, that Minna does seem, she's in earshot, H-A-P-P-I-E-R, than usual.
Really?
I think they're sort of programmed to want mummy and daddy 24/7, aren't they? I mean, if we were living what human beings had evolved to live, we wouldn't all be working 12 hours a day and having nanas and people help look after our kids. We'd probably like be returning to the cave altogether at the end of the night and all hanging out. So I think a kid up until it's about 5 or 6 probably wants that. I keep saying to Lindsay, Lindsay's holding on to this thing that Minna's going to be an easy teenager, because she's like, honestly, I got to 14 and 15 and I just like to snuggle up on the sofa with my mum, watch Coronation Street. I didn't really have a puberty, my body changed, but I stayed at home though. I'm like, oh, if you, Lindsay is the equivalent of, you know when you see those horrible videos of someone stood on the tsunami beach thinking, it looks calm for me, I'm just going to stay here, nothing bad's going to happen, and then the wave wipes out the whole town. That's Lindsay awaiting our daughter's adolescence. It's already the butt heads over everything. Right, well, I have one more story. I want six. And the argument goes to 10 straight away, whereas I'm a bit more of a sort of Kofi Annan, Ban Ki-moon, clever negotiator type thing. So we have a disagreement between what is giving in and what is negotiating. You're giving in, Russell, and you wrap round her finger type thing. And I'm like, no, I'm being clever, I'm negotiating, and me and Lindsay are each other.
See, now you're spending an unprecedented amount of time at home, especially for somebody that really should have been away from home most of the year on tour.
Yeah, exactly.
You and Lindsay are getting to see each other's parenting styles really up close.
Well, me and Lindsay are lucky in that we are so opposite that's why our relationship works. I mean, touch wood, we're only 3 weeks in, but we don't argue very often. We bicker, the same as any long-term couple, but we're so opposite that all the stuff that winds us up and make us want to sort of bury each other in the garden in side-by-side graves, are also the things that make it work. So she's laid back. Doesn't matter if it doesn't get finished. Just coast through life. Do you know what I mean? If there's a sock on the floor, it's not going to kill everyone, is it? Whereas I'm like, socks in size order now. Up at 6, exercise complete. So we drive each other nuts, but we've both got all the other stuff that the other one needs.
Yeah.
I will suddenly, you know, think, let's leave the washing up to the morning. Who gives a toss? We're not going to see anyone. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we did plan we were going to watch The Godfather the other night at 8 p.m. It didn't go on at 9 p.m. and we had to watch a different movie. We had to watch something that was an hour and a half long instead of 3 hours. Instead of blowing a gasket out of the back of my head like I would have done in a different relationship, I'm like, let's watch Thelma and Louise instead, man. It's cool. Well, that's Lindsay. That's Lindsay's influence.
Now, listen, I don't. And normally on this podcast, we would meet face to face. I would have a couple of bottles of wine, but we're in lockdown. So I don't know about you, but it's 12:25. And if I have a drink now, I'll probably fall asleep. So I'm on a coffee. What about you? What are you drinking?
Well, I'm caffeinated because I've got one of my live broadcasts for the nation at 1:15 p.m. Okay. But the good thing about speaking to a comedian is they will overshare anything.
And
the more sober I am and the more I feel like it's almost like a work-based thing, like it's being recorded, the more likely I am to go into a confessional nature. So there's not a part of me that I won't cannibalise to pay my mortgage. not that I'm being paid, just to be clear.
Just to be clear. So your first question. I want you to imagine that it's the year 2050. You're giving a TED talk to a group of wide-eyed young people. They're hungry for a slice of social history. And you're there to tell them about the year that the country, the world, came to a standstill. And you're going to talk to them about the coronavirus pandemic of 2020. What are you going to tell them?
So I'd imagine by the time we get to 2050, the level of social media and narcissistic self-uploading will be so bad that we will probably have internal cameras that put our organs onto Instagram for likes. That's imagine how bad it is. Here's my pancreas selfie. Oh my God, your pancreas is so beautiful. Yeah, it wasn't about that though. I was obviously to do with climate change. So I would just say to them, it was the time when we actually remembered what were the fundamental important things were about being a human being. We realized how important it was to have physical connection because we had none. In the last 20 years, since 2030, when Organgram came out, whatever it'll be called, you lot have completely lost that social connection. It's gone now. So listen to the Corona generation, the one who couldn't even touch or hug their own parents or grandparents for 3 months. It was a revolution in human connection. And then afterwards, when I'm doing the book signing, they'll probably want to do selfies with dog face filters on. And I realise I failed.
What do you think the teachings will be out of this, though?
Well, the teachings, well, I think definitely that you should cherish what physical contact, which we've lost because we think we're such an information superhighway, internet connected, Bluetooth generation, we don't need people. I think that's been shown that no matter what we invent, no matter how many Zooms and Skypes you invent, you cannot take the place of face-to-face human connection and interaction. Maybe technology one day will create holograms so hyper-realistic that you'll be able to stimulate the part of the brain that feels like you're talking to your mum or your partner, heaven forbid, there's people with partners abroad at the moment. But until that technology exists, get in a room, get in a pub, see your mates, have a pint. A WhatsApp group is not a night out.
It's not.
That has become abundantly clear.
So you think...
I think that and probably don't sell dead bats next to live bats. They're the two main learnings. People make me laugh online, going, yeah, we need to blame China. But it's like, stuff like that goes on all around the world. It just happens to be China where that animal welfare has had that kind of consequence.
Yeah.
We should all look at animal welfare everywhere. After all, you know, mad cow disease, it would have been easy to blame the countries that had that and say it was just because of that country. You know, this kind of animal stuff is going to happen if we're not on it with animal hygiene and responsible farming and stuff like that.
Okay, your next question. The worst of times, and arguably we are in some of the worst of times, can often bring out the very best in people. So when was that last true for you?
Well, I mean, are we allowed to include the current?
Whatever feels like the right answer for you.
Well, currently, I'm gagging to volunteer and help. I think I would get a real buzz out of that, seeing a little old lady wave with her cauliflower perm from behind a net curtain after I dropped some shopping off with sterilised gloves. I mean, the fact that that to me feels like something I want to do has reaffirmed that I have not lost myself in this industry, because when you're a stand-up comic for a living, all you do is stand on your own, harvest the attention of strangers, and then go back to a hotel room on your own. It could have a corrosive effect on your ability to connect with people. So I seem to be intact so far. Before that, I suppose I should go on about some of the charity work. It's the only time I can think of when I actually sort of take my ego and my wallet out of the driving seat. I don't know if you're involved with the Prince's Trust or know anything about
yes,
it.
Yes, this changed, amazing it's charity.
Changed, it's changed my life working with it.
This is Prince Charles's charity.
It's not for, it's not posh white people running up Snowden, oh, high-fiving, no, and getting a degree in economics. It's taking properly broken or almost crushed individuals, young adults, quite a wide age range though.
Yeah, 11 to 30.
Yeah, and then giving them purpose and goals and a way to build themselves. Now, me and Lindsay have both been involved. I'm lucky in that what I do for a living plugs right into what they need. They need loads of fundraising. They need loads of hosts for loads of events.
Yeah,
they've never really done comedy before, so we've been experimenting with that. I've been running into all kinds of situations you wouldn't believe. I did a clay pigeon shoot after party. I mean, you can imagine. You know, a clay pigeon shoot in a Lord's ground. No one's heard of me. They don't watch stand-up. So you're battling the fact that no one knows who you are, mixed with the awfulness of no sound, no lights, and everyone's getting drunk with like guns hanging over their legs after clay pigeon shoot. It doesn't stop me, though. I just get a buzz out of jangling them and seeing what cash falls out for fundraising, which was why I was there.
It was founded in 1976 by Prince Charles.
Crazy.
And he wanted to help young, vulnerable people get their lives back on track, fundamentally. That's what it's there for. So if you're between 11 and 30 and you're struggling, you're excluded from society, you're unemployed, whatever it is, they will provide help and support and trust for you to go in and work within their infrastructure to get the very best out of you for the rest of your life.
Do you know what it is? Like, sometimes I'll be a bit, it's not easy stand up. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not trying to play down to what I do. Obviously, you can imagine some of the knocks. Yeah, I get all the normal knocks of a showbiz career mixed with live 400 people rejection. Some very rarely, but if the gig's wrong, that can happen. So it's a tough business. But thanks to the work I've been doing in the Prince's Trust, that has changed me, because I just think, oh, I'm not really like what that lad went through that I heard talk the other week. And it's changed my perspective.
But no, actually, you know what? It's really nice at a time like this. Last night on the news, I'm not sure when this will go out in terms of timelines with where we are in the pandemic. But last night, Rishi Sunak announced £750 million to the charity sector. And it sounds, unless you know the work that these charities do, you think, well, now's not the time for charity. Well, actually it is, because you don't understand the incredibly valuable work that these organisations do. Like the Prince's Trust, it's created 125,000 entrepreneurs and has given business support to almost 400,000 businesses in the UK. It's amazing.
I think people will, I hope, there's nothing I've wanted to be wrong more than what I'm about to say. I've got a horrible feeling that the virus is the least dangerous thing. I think the economic fallout and the social fallout afterwards is probably, if not more, or certainly as much in danger to people's health, literally their physical health as well as obviously their mental
and,
health
and social health.
But we remain to be seen.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest. There's cards on the table. I'm not like a Boris or a Conservative fan, but I have been impressed with a lot of the social measures they've taken. Some of the stuff was a little bit slow, but the stuff where they just put cash on the table and gone boom. I mean, that just, haven't heard from Corbyn, have I? Just like the dollar gun came out, and that was it.
Before we move on from the Prince's Trust, every now and again you get these amazing invites to go and yeah. meet with Charles and Camilla. Have you done that? Have you done the Clarence House experience? Because I
have
like...
You haven't seen my stand-up show,
I did. I came and saw you in Croydon when you
That's
played
it.
That.
So yeah. You know what my wife did. I won't ruin that because it makes such a good story. I'll tell you what she did the second time. I'll give you an exclusive. When she bent down, it was the Prince's Trust Awards where you queue on the red carpet to go in. And for people listening to this that have ever been to watch a red carpet event in a theatre, what they do is, so you're not bored while you're waiting for it to start, they film the red carpet and project it into the theatre.
Yeah.
So 1, 2, 3,000 people can watch, you know, Joel Dommett on the red carpet being interviewed, etc. And me and Lindsay, of course, were late.
Why were you late? Because how can you be late for such a prestigious event?
What happened? I've got this fear when I do a red carpet of being late and then being on the red carpet at the same time as the high profile guest, you know, like just behind Tom Hanks as a nobody or something like that.
They trying to shove you off the carpet, yeah.
Exactly. It's just a phobia I've got. I like to be first with all the Geordie Shaw lot and really shine. And this is again what I was saying about the beginning of the conversation. So Lindsay would be like, I didn't like hovering. Let's get there at the last minute, get the adrenaline, roll onto the carpet. And I'm like, why don't we get there early and we can always have a coffee around the corner and walk onto the carpet at the right moment rather than risk a slow taxi journey. That's an example of how our brains work different straight away.
Yeah.
And we left it. She won. We had a nice relaxing cocktail at the in Dean Street. And because we didn't leave enough time, as we've walked out, her trousers, unfortunately, had split at the bum, basically.
Oh, God.
So she's walking in front of me to get into our taxi, and I'm like, your trousers are completely split at the arse. We have a massive row, so we have to go into a hotel, beg for a sewing kit. She's sewing her trousers in the toilet while I scream under the door. So we're already going to... I know we're going to have a crap night no matter what happens anyway. We then... The last people onto the carpet, Prince Charles has gone... Everyone's gone ahead of us and are in the theatre, more or less. Just a few stragglers and PR people. And I'm just do the press mode. So it didn't occur to me that this was being broadcast live into the theatre. I just thought this was some random bit of media. I could say what I like and they would edit it at a later date. Didn't edit myself. And as we're talking, Lindsay has bent down to pick up her bag off the red carpet. Trousers have split again. And where the cameraman thought, what's she doing? She's doing something funny. Has accidentally filmed her Nicholas split leather trousers and broadcast her actual bum hole into the theatre with royalty presents.
And Charles was already seated.
And when we walked in, like we were laughing. You get sort of put into the front seat by going in a special door. About 600 people went, "Way!" And I thought, oh my God, I'm doing so well at the moment. Even celebrities are cheering me. Not realising what everyone had seen. It was on the Daily Mail website within 30 minutes. And people, if you want to Google it, Russell Kane, Lindsay Kane's wife, wardrobe malfunction, Prince's Trust, you'll see the censored picture in the sidebar of shame.
You made the sidebar of shame with it?
We made it within 30 minutes, before the interval. It was there. But Lindsay's always angry up until, yes. Well, most people saw it. They saw the rather more of it than they should. But she's always angry.
You actually posted a bum hole with the rip, with a winky emoji on Instagram.
If the story is, I always say, Lindsay will be like, are people going to pay tickets to you? Say it. I'm like, yes. She's like, where are we going on holiday? Maldives. Okay, I'll keep my mouth shut. I'm allowed to, as my mum's the same. I'm allowed to be horrible as long as it's a nice holiday.
As long as there's a Maldives break at the end of it. That's brilliant.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
My final question to you, Russell. Your current tour, which I really hope you get back out on the road this year, Fast and Curious, I think that really does describe your style of thinking and comedy. Your mind is super quick and you are incredibly curious. So have you given much thought to what, when we come through this, what aspects of life as we used to know, you know, the life before lockdown, what are the bits of getting back to normal that you're not looking forward to returning to? The stuff you could do without?
So I love every aspect of my job and my life apart from staying in a hotel 3-4 nights a week. Now that I'm in the middle of the country, it's not as bad as it used to be when I'm touring, because most places you can get back to from Manchester, even if it's a 4-hour drive, Glasgow, I wouldn't stay over. I'd be back in my bed by 2. I sleep from 2 till 10 a.m. up, get a few hours at home. So it's not as bad as you might think. But inevitably, there's a lot of London work with what we do, a lot of corporate work, a lot of meetings with people. And if I've got a London meeting and a London gig night for it, just sometimes it rolls into 3, 4, 5, 6 days where it's not worth coming home. That is the only stressful part of my life. Comedy has its own stresses, but what I call good stress, as long as you're enjoying it. But the negative stress of my life is trains and travel, and it's nonstop. It's just constant. And that has stopped dead. In fact, I moved into the house I'm in now in March 2017. I'd never, ever achieved 5 nights on the trot at home and never managed it. 4 was my record.
Really?
And now I've suddenly done about 20 or something. Yeah, I've got an Airbnb setup I use in London because I'm down there so often. And sometimes Lindsay and Minna, because she's under 5 at the moment, they can come down with me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I take Colin, my pug, down with me. And but it's, you know, that... The case, for example, my tour case is on the floor in the bedroom, and it's never, ever. There's the patch of carpet, we've got cream carpet in my bedroom, where my tour case sits, is more what pale than the rest, where the case is constantly there if I'm home. I don't bother unpacking ever. There's no point. And now that case is away for the first time ever.
Crazy. Wow, that's quite a big change in lifestyle for you then. Yeah.
And I think that will hit me quite hard when that happens. What I was disappointed of when I moved up here, thinking, well, I'm in the middle of the country, I'll be able to come home a lot more often. And then you've got your 18 months off, 2 years off when you're not touring. And I was away more because it's sod's law. As soon as I moved, I thought, I'm next to Media City, so lots of things are filmed in Manchester. The amount of London work comes pouring in. Of course it does.
Yeah.
You're not in a position to say no to anything most of the time. When me and Lindsay were going to get married in 2014, she knew that in May 2014, that if I was called in April with a juicy enough job, the wedding would be pulled. That's the person she's married, and that's the way it is.
Would that have been the case?
You know it's the case. there's massive, massive positives, but you have to be reactive.
Yes,
and you
do.
Have to go with the flow, and you've got to go with the opportunities. And if you can find someone that's understanding, like Lindsay is, with that side of stuff, then that's why it works. But she knows if Martin Scorsese phoned me and went, we want an English gangster in a movie, I'm not going to, oh, it's a shame because it's my wedding next month. I'm going to be on a plane to LA smashing stuff up with Jason Statham. That's where I'm going to be. I'm lucky in that the bulk of my tour was last year. So my tour's just paid out. So I'm like, you know, giving it like a... I'm like a rapper at the moment. I'm absolutely stacked.
But you're
it's
like
been
Drake.
A year before. Oh yeah, I'm just like got my dollar gun in the garden. I put pound coins in it, obviously, for recession. And but I'm very, very lucky. I've got no worries for a year. If it had been last year, it's what people don't understand. They think, oh, you're on stage, you're on the telly, you've got no worries. But actually, we, you know, once money runs out, it runs out.
And
In our business, people won't realise this. You have to set up for tax purposes. Most of us is a limited company. Well, directors of limited companies aren't getting at the moment. any help at all. So yeah. I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'm not moaning about my position. In fact, I'm very fortunate and having a good time with this lockdown process. But there'll be many, many, many people like me that are sort of one-man band limited companies, maybe earn anywhere from 20 to 50 grand a year. Their money's stopped dead. They'll be in trouble very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
So I was lucky that my tour had just paid out. But still, I mean, I don't mean to be coarse and talk about money, but hundreds of thousands of pounds just gone straight down the drain.
Mm.
Because touring is my main income, and I wanted to carry on touring to the end of the year. And it's not just the lost income, it's the costs as well. Nothing's insured, all the money are laid out on accommodation, on tour cars, or it just goes on and on and on.
But and it's the wider picture like as well. It means that if you're not in theatres playing, then the people that run the theatres aren't working. And
well, they've already gone. One venue's gone under that I played on this tour. In Bromsgrove, it's gone completely under.
That's so sad. And so quick.
The other aspect that people aren't focusing on is a lot of the theatres around the country, rather than just being locked in these London, Manchester, and Liverpool bubbles, as great as those posh cosmopolitan venues are, a lot of the venues, not only do they not have any working capital, so they're going to start sinking one by one, a lot of them are staffed by volunteers who love their work. Mm. Great. But guess what age most volunteers are? They're 70 plus. So if you think 70-year-olds are going to be rushing back to rooms full of 1,000 people coughing.
No, they're not.
You've got another thing coming. So we're going to have a staffing issue as well come September and October. Who is going to work in these theatres?
Well, do you know, I think the one thing you can say is that actually, you know, we've seen an incredible number of people volunteer to help, for example, the NHS. So I actually, and there's you saying that you wish that you knew that you had the immunity or you'd had it or that you were safe to go out and help and serve. So actually maybe that appetite isn't just going to be exclusive to the 70 plus generation. Maybe we've learned something from that. Yeah, that might be a nice hangover.
You've got to be so careful when you're talking about stuff like this, because I come from a poor family, right? So people will listen to people like me. My tour didn't pay out, and think, shut up, rich fucker. Like, I'm not moaning about my situation. I'm just pointing out that it doesn't matter whether you're Prince Charles or someone struggling on the Prince's Trust. Everyone has their own fears and challenges and worries, and anything can hit anyone at any time, at any level. I was friends with Caroline Flack, for Christ's sake. You know, not everyone has everything you think they have. So it's a time to just show compassion to everyone.
To everybody, but, yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
So far as what I'm not looking forward to coming back is the travelling. That's my number one sick feeling in my stomach. I wish I could teleport to my gigs. But,
so the irony being that you're not actually looking forward to getting out of lockdown and getting back on the road like most of us are. I mean, like,
some days I'm not even taking my 30 minutes walk around the block some days. I'll do the stairs a couple of times. I am lucky to have a garden. That is,
oh yeah.
You cannot overstate the difference of this process for people with a garden to without. It's like different planets. I did some stand up about it in a week. Like people are like, oh, I'm going to go and sunbathe. It's like, is that suntan really worth it? The park should be for people that walk in that need to stretch their legs because they feel like they're losing the plot in their tiny flat or something in London. It's not for you to stretch out with six other mates all bright flouting social distance. So that when in a few months' time, when you're hospitalised, Laura, and everyone will be going, what a lovely tan she's got, even though she's on a ventilator. It's like, buck your ideas up.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, before I let you go, something I'm asking all of my guests. It's the day that we wake up and we're told life has been restored to normal, lockdown's over. I want to know, on that day, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? And who will you spend that day with?
It'll be the first, lockdown will be over in two phases. Phase one will be small businesses will be opened and you can sort of move around longer than 30 minutes and go and see your family again. And phase two will be everything completely returns to normal. I think phase one is the most important one for most people. The main reason me and Lindsay moved to Cheshire is to be close to all her northern family. She's got this very tight-knit, you know, northern families, like they help out with everything. We're used to seeing her mum and dad. Her mum and dad stay at least one night a week. They live 10 minutes from us.
Oh, that's nice. So what about her aunt that you talk about on your live show? How's she doing?
Auntie Christine as well. They're doing bingo over house party on a Friday that Lindsay's calling the bingo and they're all on there playing bingo, Christine and everything.
Christine sounds like a legend, by the way. Can you just tell us a little bit about Christine?
What it took to set Auntie Christine up with that level of technology was unbelievable. It took four people from NASA to explain it. She's like, you know, 65-year-old woman, don't care. I'll speak my mind. I'll say what I like. And if I laugh too much, I'll wee myself. And she does all the time. On Christmas, before we sit down to Christmas dinner, we laugh so much. And she knows she's going to laugh. She lines my chair with a Tesco carrier bag and goes, it's just safe for luck. Right, go on, carry on with your story.
That's brilliant.
So it's just that, and my mum immediately, I'm lucky I've got a young mum for my age, but I still, even though she's only 65, I'm not going to put her on a train. So I've got my tour manager who's gagging for work. I'll pay him to bring my mum up for 7 days. And that's the thing I'm looking forward to, all family, all together, all around the table. And the second stage, I don't think we'll notice it, you know, so much as all the nightclubs, pubs and theatres. That'll just be like going back to work after a long holiday. But that first stage, which has taken away, you know, a large part of what it means to be human, seeing your mum, seeing your dad, yeah, going out for a walk, shaking hands, giving a hug, all things human beings long to do. That's the one I'm looking forward to more than right back to the travel lodge, monkey boy. You've got people to make laugh.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Everybody I've asked that question to, everyone said the same thing.
It is, and animals are important as well. I mean, I can't do anything without my pets. And right at the start of this, I lost my cat Keith. He was, it was his time, but it was only one day of sobbing as opposed to 2 weeks when I lost my other cat Wayne. It was only 13, but Keith was he was like a bone with hair on. It was definitely his time, but still. And so I just thought, I'm trying to turn a negative into a positive and work out a way to get a new kitten here, because it's not very often you've got a forced period at home where you can really work on socialising a pet. So we've managed to find, we're looking for a pet breeder that's a vet as well, because they can still legally move around and they'll be able to bring the kitten to our garden and hand over in a way that complies with all social distancing measures, blah, blah, blah. So I might have to wait till phase one finishes before I can do that properly. And as soon as it does, there's a Burmese kitten or some sort of cat coming into this house, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, I'm so sorry that you lost right at the beginning of lockdown. Was that?
It was right. Yeah, it was literally. It was just after it. So the vet, unfortunately, you know, with cats, I went as long as I could till he literally couldn't get out of bed. And on that day, the vet had to do the procedure in our garden because my vet is closed, obviously with everything going on. So we had to get. It wasn't cheap. A vet out, and then the vet stepped forward, sedated him. We stepped forward, gave him one last stroke. We stepped back. The vet finished off the process. We stepped forward. We did it like that. It is possible to do stuff like that safely and whilst complying. But yeah, that's the other aspect of this lockdown, which, because it's obviously humans, we have to come first. But pets are really important. A lot of people get a lot of stuff from their animals. And Colin is working overtime, my pug at the moment. He's having to be stroked and cuddled like a cat.
Colin, love the names as well. What would the new cat be called? Or do you need to see the cat before you know?
I will get two, obviously. They're going to be Terry and Roy, I think.
Terry and Roy. They're all names that literally sound like the people that you grew up with, Russell.
Exactly. They're all uncles from the 80s.
Brilliant.
I wanted to go Darren, but it sounds too much like Colin, and pets get confused if the sounds are similar. Otherwise, I just love the idea of a cat called Darren, but...
Love it. Oh, well, look, best of luck with the rest of lockdown.
Thank you.
When the tour was scheduled to run until the end of the year, so the chances are that you will be back in theatres probably late summer.
We rescheduled them for starting October, and the ones that we've rescheduled have sold out, you know, within 24 hours. So people are gagging for face-to-face laughter. So, hopefully those ones I've rescheduled for October actually happen.
Well, I can only tell you, I bought tickets. I came to see you in Croydon. We had a bit of a date night. We laughed so much and so hard that on the way home, we just thought, we can't end this night like this. This can't be the end. And we went and sat in a pub garden until they kicked us out, because we just wanted to sustain the night. And you made me laugh so much. And Auntie Christine was probably one of my highlights. And I will encourage people just to buy the tickets just to go and hear about Auntie Christine.
If you want to see what Auntie Christine looks like, She's got an Instagram as well. I think it's Christine_Auntie. I'll put videos up of her now and again. People think I'm exaggerating and I'm not. It's over there.
I'm so following that right now. Thank you. Russell, thanks so much. Really was a treat. And I'm thrilled to have had you on the show. Thank you. Stay safe.
Be safe. Bye.
White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Caitlin Marcer for Yahoo UK and edited by Callum Goddard-Mucklow. We are all working remotely. Music's by Andy Bell, whose back catalogue is available on iTunes and Spotify. And you can follow us at WhiteWineQT on Twitter and Instagram. And remember, you don't need your headphones to listen to us. If you're at home on lockdown, just tell your home speakers, OK Google or Alexa, take me to White Wine Question Time, and we will fill your home with conversation. Until next week, from me, thank you for listening. Stay safe, stay home, and do as we always do and drink responsibly.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.